Psalm 31 this morning. Psalm 31. I would say with the psalmist, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and his seed is blessed. I can tell you that in my lifetime, I have found that my failures are not on God. My failures are mine. I own them. And my failures are my prayer failures. And so this morning, we're going to talk to you about a very simple prayer. Psalm 31, the psalmist is in trouble. And our emphasis is going to be on verse 4. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me without my strength. The psalmist has found himself in a trap. And if you ever found yourself there, a place of danger. We're going to read the chapter. It's a great chapter. 24 verses. Follow along as I read. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me. So he's in that snare, verse 4, deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me, deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. Why? For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me, guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Now think about verse 5 for just a moment. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. And in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 14, we were here just a few weeks ago, vacation Bible school. Jesus is on the shore. He sent the crowd away, sent the disciples across. They're in the fourth watch of the night, and the storm, they've been toiling, the storm is there, and Jesus comes across walking on the water, and Peter says, bid me that I come to thee. If thou be Christ, if thou be the Lord, bid me that I come unto thee. And Jesus said in verse 29, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. When he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. I did this in vacation Bible school. I'll do this morning just so you get a picture of this. Peter is sinking in the water. Give me your right hand. No, you don't stand up. You don't stand up. Peter's sinking in the water, and Bible says Jesus caught him. Caught him. And so Jesus, he all he did was reach forth the hand, but Jesus reached out and grabbed the hand. So here's the psalmist saying, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Why? Because you're going through a tough time, you reach out the hand, he'll grab it. He caught Peter's hand. Verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. For thou hast known my soul in adversities. Going through a tough time? You are not alone. Verse 8, and hath not shut me up into the hand of mine enemy, of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief. Yea, my soul and my belly. And you think about that, and you get sorrowful, so sorrowful, and you've been crying, and you just hurt on the inside, hurt physically, hurt spiritually. I was a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. You ever feel like verse 12? I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel. No one uses me. No one needs me. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in Thine hand. Now think about Peter. His times were in God's hand. He was sinking and he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. My times, there's a psalmist saying the same thing, my times are in Thine hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. For them that persecute me, and that goes along with verse 4, pull me out of the net. The enemies had laid a net, he's found himself trapped in it, and he cries out to the Lord. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, for thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, and sometimes we get hasty, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee. O Lord, O love the Lord, ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. A very strong reference, verse 24 to Psalm 27. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So this morning, I'm not a big fan of memorized prayers. This morning, we're going to, in the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to teach you a couple of prayers, and we're going to memorize them together as a church family. For something for you to quote when you're going through a difficult time. Now, again, I'm not a big fan of memorized prayer, but this simple prayer, which is what title is, very simple prayer, I think will be a help to you. And our problem is not God. I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes, verse 22. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Very simple prayer. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and that it shows us that from the beginning of time, we are not alone. We are not alone in temptation. Adam and Eve were tempted. We are tempted. You were tempted, yet without sin. And Father, we fail. And our failures are not you. In our haste, we sometimes believe that we have been cut off from your goodness, from your grace. Now, this morning, may we be confident that you hear our cry. And that if we'll but lift our hand toward heaven, you'll catch it and help us. Father, for that person that does not know your salvation, they have never received the gift of God, which is eternal life. I pray that they would receive that gift so that they can say, I have a Savior who is ready, willing, and able to help me. And we'll thank you for that help. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Psalm 31 is a psalm of David. It's interesting to read what people say about the psalm. They say it could have been written by Jeremiah. It's a psalm of David. That just pretty much settles it for me. A time David is going through dire affliction, and he appeals to God for help. He appeals to God for help with confidence that God is going to help him. David's mind is strengthened. And as a result, in this Psalm, Psalm 31, he magnifies the Lord. And that's not the only time that he does that. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. But in this chapter, he is caught in a net. What is that net? I do not know. The Bible does not tell us. But he is caught in a net. And he says in that fourth verse, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. He needs help. He needs help speedily. He needs help right now. Why? Because right now he is caught in the net. A delay would be deadly. A delay would be too late. In God's word, there are those that cry. And now we're going to read, I'm going to quote for you several verses this morning from a variety of different places, many of them from the Psalms, some from Jeremiah, one from Matthew, one from John. And we'll show you a contrast this morning between people that cry and people that accuse, people that get to the point where they say, I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. There are, in God's word, those that cry for help. Psalm 3, verse 7, attacked by enemies. The psalm says, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. So you should absolutely cry out when you are attacked. You should cry out when you are left without hope. Psalm 6, verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. When should I cry? You should cry when you're in outer darkness, when there is no hope. Psalm 31, verse 16, make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Again, that phrase repeated. When you're in desperate trouble, we saw that in Psalm 31. You also see that in Psalm 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You should call upon God when you're surrounded by your enemies. Psalm 71, verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I say continually, thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. You should cry when you're all alone. Psalm 109, verse 26, help me, O Lord my God, save me according to thy mercy. You should cry unto the Lord because you're his child. Again, the psalmist in Psalm 31, verse 22, I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest me. He's a child of the king. You should cry out because you're the king's child. Psalm 119, 94, I am thine. Save me. Now, we are the problem when we fail to pray. Isaiah 38, verse 20 said, the Lord was ready to save me, but we did not cry. Crying to the Lord in sickness, Jeremiah 17, 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. And we should cry unto the Lord when we have spiritual doubts and personal faith failures. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. We read from that in Peter, but when Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. And then we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself when in the garden, John 12, 27, Jesus Christ said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For this cause came I unto this hour." So I'm going to teach you a couple of prayers this morning. Prayer number one. Are you ready? It's going to be long, so pay attention, because I'm going to make you repeat this, Tom. Are you paying attention? You ready? Okay, here we go. Here's the first prayer. Save me. Yeah, there you go. That's hard, right? You ready? Here's first prayer. Save me. You don't sound like you want to be safe. You sound like you're okay, sinking in the water. Now, Tom, you're sinking in the water, buddy, and you're about to go under for the last time, and you don't say, "Save me." You say, "Save me! Save me!" Okay, you ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Save me. Okay, here's another prayer. Okay, you ready? Help me. Help me. All right, okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Help me. Okay, so now you got two prayers to remember. Save me and help me. Okay, we're going to do both of them together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Save me. Help me. You can do this. Now say, "Pastor, shouldn't we say, Dear Jesus or Lord?" Okay, if you want to be formal, some of the Psalms say that. "Lord, save me. Lord, help me." And the title of the message is a very simple prayer. But we don't cry out, because we think we can solve our own problems. And it takes humility to cry out. A very simple prayer. Save me. Help me. And you can put "Lord" on that if you want to be formal. And if you want to get formal on the end, you can say, "In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, help me. In Jesus' name, amen." But if you're caught in a net, probably you're not going to say, "The most holy God, Jehovah God." Right? I mean, you're going to cry. I mean, you should cry, "Help me, help me, save me. I need that help right now." Sad case out of Tennessee. A hiker died of a snake bite just recently. Very few people die of a snake bite in Tennessee. The snake was a timber rattlesnake, I can say that. He is the largest and most dangerous snake in Tennessee. Can grow up to 5 feet, has a diamond head, a characteristic rattle. And this hiker had just gotten started on his day. He was just about a half mile down the trail from the parking lot. Timber rattlers rarely strike humans, rarely. They are the more docile of the rattlesnakes. But just a half mile down the trail, he got bit. He decided, I don't know if he had a girlfriend there, or he's in a group. Article doesn't tell us. But he decided that he was going to pick the snake up. So you know how you pick up a snake? You pick up the snake by the tail and you get him around and you stretch your hand out towards his head, right? And you keep his head away from you. But before he could grab the tail, grab the body, and slip his hand up to grab it behind the head, the snake turned around and latched onto his hand. And then he cried, "Help me!" But he cried too late. He cried too late. Don't wait to cry. Don't. The psalmist here in Psalm 31 is not waiting till he's gotten bit by Satan. He's in trap. He's in trouble. But you can wait too long. You can wait too long. Bit him on the hand. He should have died. He should have walked away. He should have cried for help. Very simple prayer. Help me! Save me! A simple cry. Here's some psalmists that did a simple cry for help. Psalm 22, verse 19. Be thou not far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Hate thee to help me! Psalm 38, 22. Make haste to help me, O Lord, of my salvation. Psalm 40, verse 13. Please be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. All of these verses have something in common. They all say, help me. And you go home to your Bible software program and type those two prayers in. Save me and help me. And you'll get a long list of verses of people in the Psalm, people in Isaiah, people in the New Testament that cried, save me, that cried, help me. Our problem, our failures are our prayer failures, and it is absolutely biblical to cry out to the Lord, save me, help me. It's absolutely biblical to do that. Psalm 40, verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Psalm 59, verse 4, they run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me. And behold, Psalm 70, verse 1, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Psalm 109, verse 26, help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to thy mercy. Psalm 50, verse 7, for the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Isaiah verse 50, chapter 50, verse 9, behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them up. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 is an amazing chapter. Here's a gal she is in desperate circumstance, and she has come to the Lord. Matthew chapter 15. Let's start reading at verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence. I'll just say this is a troubling passage to many, many people. Because she comes to Christ for help, but she's not a Jew. And Christ, it seems, is harsh to her. Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaanite, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. Thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And you can cry, Lord, save me, Lord, help me. And you'll have people say, would you just be quiet? Would you just go sit down? You're ruining our worship experience. And so the disciples say, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You're a Canaanite. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, very proper, right? Help me! Can you hear the desperation in her cry? But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Now that seems harsh. But she's a sinner. And in order for a person to receive salvation, they have to admit that they're a sinner. And in your sin, you are a dog. And that doesn't package well. But that is the truth. Here's the thing. She was willing to recognize that. She owned that. Yeah, I am absolutely a sinner, and I need a Savior. Help me! Help me. And she said, truth, Lord. She's not debating. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I'm just asking for a crumb. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Why? Because she was willing to cry, Lord, help me! And I'll say again, our failures are our prayer failures. Turn with me to Luke. Here's what we normally do. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Gospel of Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Very familiar passage of Scripture. We have Mary and Martha and Lazarus, the home. And verse 38, now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And it's interesting, it does not say this is Mary's house, this is Martha's house. And Mary is, Martha is a worker, and Mary is staying there because she's, it's Martha's house. It's her house, very clearly. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone, left me to serve alone? Bid her that she help me. And Christ rebuked her. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And so here is Martha is saying, Pastor, help me. Mary should help me. Here's what wives say to their husband. You should help me. Here's what husbands say to their wives. You should help me. Here's what we say to our kids. Don't stand there and watch me. Help me. We ask everybody else for help. We'll ask the preacher for help. We'll ask friends for help. We'll get on the phone and work the phones. We'll ask the neighbor for help. We'll ask the government for help. Although the forms may be 152 pages. The guy got one form. Very simple, just one cry. Help me. Save me. Deliver me. There are lots of two-word prayers in God's Word. And we don't get God's help because we just don't cry. Help me. It's simple to do. It's very simple to do. But here's the problem. It takes a childlike faith. So I had the opportunity to spend some time with my grandson, David and Jesse's oldest boy, Ezra. Ezra is two-ish. And that's a fun age. Two is a fun age. I know people talk about the terrible twos, but I enjoy him. He's a good young man. He's fun to watch, fun to care for, fun to be around. And I'll just say his parents have done an amazing job teaching him. This is not a sermon on child rearing, but they've done a wonderful job teaching him to obey. Now, he's a normal kid. When you tell him no, he doesn't like that. And he cries because he really wants to do whatever he's doing, but he knows he can't, and he knows that if he does, there's repercussions. And again, parents have done an amazing job raising him, and just a joy to be around. And so I've got Ezra down on the floor. Now, I'm down on the floor because Ezra says, Papa, Papa. Papa, get out of your chair and get on the floor. I want to play. And so I get down on the floor with Ezra. It's interesting when his sister is around, and if I'm holding his sister, giving her a bottle or rocking her in the chair, he goes, Papa, Papa, Papa. play with me. And I go, I got Sissy. And he goes, he points at her day chair, you know. He goes, put her there. And Papa, play with me. And so we put Sissy in the chair, and I get down on the floor, and he likes to wrestle. And so he and I are wrestling, and I'm pushing him around, and he tries to get away, and I pull on his leg, and I pull on his back. And immediately he doesn't want help. But immediately he starts crying out to Grandma, 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 help me, help me, help, help, help. And I grab a hold of him, and I rough him up, and I'm thinking, here's this little guy, and the moment he's caught in a snare, the child cries out to help. Now, obviously, he recognized that Mrs. Bishop is the higher power, and if she tells me to stop, I'm going to stop. But that being set aside, how immediately a child that is hurt cries out, Mama, help me! Grandma, help me! Grandma, save me! They're hurt. They got a boo-boo, they want a kiss, they want... But as we get older, we don't do that. How are you doing? I'm okay. You're bleeding. Get a Band-Aid. Guys, get a little duct tape. You know, just wrap it up in duct tape. Put a paper towel around it. It'll be okay till later. But little children don't do that. Is it any wonder Christ said you've got to have a childlike faith? So you want help? And so what do we need help with? What's your temptation? The most oft question I am asked when it comes to sin is, Pastor, how can I get victory over sin? I'm caught in a snare. I'm caught in a tough place. I've got this bad habit. Maybe it's cigarettes. Maybe it's booze. Maybe it's immorality, but I'm caught in a net. How do I get out? And we focus on big programs and accountability, and I'm not opposed to all of that, but there's going to come a time this week when you are caught in a net, probably because of something you have done on purpose. And when you realize I'm caught in a net, when you find yourself in the bar with booze on the table in front of you, can you imagine what would happen in that place if you all of a sudden yelled out, Lord, help me? Probably the place would go silent. But it's when you're in the net. The psalmist is in the net. Somebody has laid a net privily for him. So somebody has sought to catch him in an offense, to destroy him, to wreck his character. He's in the net. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. I just cry out a very simple prayer, but we don't. And so we don't get deliverance. Why? Because ye have not deliverance, because ye ask not. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ye have not deliverance because ye ask not for deliverance. If Peter would have been sinking in the water and would not have cried out, Lord, help me, Lord, save me, the Lord would not have reached down and caught him. But he cried out, very simple prayer, and the Lord caught him. And the Lord will, he's not a respecter of persons, he will catch you, he will help you, he will deliver you. That's what he does. A simple cry from an attacking foe, but who likes to ask for help? And that is the problem. That is the problem. The Savior is waiting. He's waiting for you to cry. He's waiting for a simple prayer, just for you, but it takes humility. I don't need any help. Yeah, I don't need any help. And how early we learn that. You've watched it. Parent, they got a little two-year-old, he learned to walk, and they're walking down the sidewalk. They're coming up to an intersection, and a mom and dad inherently reach down and grab, they're going through a dangerous part, grab the hand of that child. What does the child do? I don't need your help. I don't need your help. And what does the parent do? You absolutely need my help. Hold my hand. Hold my hand. But here we are as an adult, and we need to hold the hands of the Savior, or let the Savior grab our hand. And what do? I'm in the water. I'm drowning. I don't need your help. We'll call a pastor. We'll call a neighbor. We'll call a loved one. We'll call mom. We'll call dad. We'll call our kids. But we're not going to call on the one that can help and is waiting to help, Lord Jesus Christ. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Satan is not your... He wants to destroy you. The Bible tells us Satan is a roaring lion. There are spiritual foes. They are the spirits, the serpent's brood. They do ensnare by subtlety. They do that. The believer is caught in a trap, caught as a bird in a trap. The simple ones become surrounded by Satan's net. And how do you get out? Implied in the text that one, in the very clutches of Satan himself, is trapped. He can be delivered if only he'll cry a very simple prayer, Lord, help me, Lord, save me, Lord, deliver me. Pastor, if only there was a prayer that could help me escape this temptation or deliver me from this bondage or from this stronghold. And there is. There is. It is biblical. It is proper. It is documented over and over and over again. Save me, help me, deliver me. From trouble. What kind of trouble? Well, Daniel was in the lion's den. I suspect he cried, Lord, help me. Here's a guy that was in disobedience. His name was Jonah. Where did he find himself? In the belly of a whale. Took him 3 days before he cried, Lord, help me. But God is a very present help in time of trouble. You find yourself in the lion's den. You find yourself in the whale's belly. You find yourself in the lion's den because you've been doing right. You find yourself in the whale's belly because you've been disobedient. But when you cry out, God will help you. Why? Because you are the king's child. From what? From the net of temptation, the snares of malicious cunning. The Lord is ready for every emergency. And Peter cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord caught him. Because the most secure nets, the most carefully laid traps of the hunter shall never be able to hold the prayer. I would also say, woe to them who are so clever at net laying, those who tempt others, because you will one day be destroyed. You will meet the one who destroys the net and delivers. Why? For thou art my strength. What does that do? It enables joy in the trial, joy in the toil, cheerfulness in the suffering, knowing that your Savior, you are a child of the King, is there to help. What is it? Divine power, celestial strength, which confounds, frustrates, and foils the enemy. But many of us like to trust in the arm of flesh. And we sing the song, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high a royal banner, it shall not suffer loss. And in that song it says, the arm of flesh will fail you, be never wanting there. But we trust in the arm of flesh rather than trusting in the Lord our God. There are those that trust, there are those that do not. A very sad story out of the United Kingdom. Jade Damerel. Jade is a 32-year-old gal. April 27th of this year, she was April 26th and 27th, she was skydiving. On the 26th, a very experienced skydiver, she had 6 successful jumps. She liked to wear a GoPro camera and like to do extra things, like to post it on the internet, and you could probably go and find her videos. But on the 27th, her chute failed to deploy, and she hit the ground. Chutes, plural, unopened. Coroner said that she died of blunt force trauma, which would make sense. You fall, you jump out of a perfectly good plane, and you don't have anything to stop. When you hit the ground, the first 3,000 feet is not going to hurt too bad, but that last foot, that sudden stop at the bottom, blunt force trauma. She hit the ground. The ground is unforgiving at that speed. They did a after-action part of the criminal investigation to see if somebody had tampered with her chutes, and here's what they found. They found that her chutes were in good working order. And then they found some anomalies in her day. Normally she wore a GoPro camera, but on this day she did not. And then they went to her locker. And on the screen of her phone it said, check the notes folder. And in the notes folder was a message to her family. I'm sorry. Thank you for the support. Here are where my financial holdings are held. And on that day, she chose not to deploy her chutes. Why is that? After the 6 successful jumps on the 26th, her boyfriend, who was jumping with her, said, I don't want to be with you anymore. And in sorrow of heart, on the 27th, she climbed in a plane with 2 good chutes and decided that there was no hope, there was no help. And she jumped on purpose and did not deploy the chutes on purpose because she thought there was no help. Christian, I'm here to tell you there is help. It is the Lord. He is your Savior, and He is waiting for you to cry, help me, save me. I like this song. I am your special music this morning. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let Him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to Him? Time after time, He has waited before, and now He is waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how He wants to come in. If you'll take one step towards the Savior, my friend, you'll find His arms open wide. Receive Him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart He'll abide. You'll be a child of the King. And the Savior not only waits for sinners to call upon Him, but He waits for His children to say, help me, save me. Very simple prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word. I pray that we would be a people that are not so prideful that we will not cry, Lord, help me in sickness and distress, in pain and sorrow, in suffering, in disappointment, in sin and temptation. May we be a people that cry, Lord, help me. Help me. You're a Christian here this morning. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior, but you need help. This morning, you may not do it at the altar, but this morning where you sit, you are crying to the Lord, Lord, help me, because you've got a problem you're facing. You do not have the answer. You do not have the solution. You're trapped. You need help. And this morning you're praying, Lord, help me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes. Father, I thank you for your grace. Thank you for you that you are a God that helps. You save sinners and you deliver people that are caught in traps. Traps sometimes not of our doing, Daniel. Traps because we've been disobedient, Jonah. But you deliver. Traps because sometimes we're sinking. Just because we've got our eyes off of you, our faith has failed. May we be not so prideful that we will not cry, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here this morning, but you do not know Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Like that woman. God has spoken to my heart this morning. Slip your hand up. Hold it up for just a moment. Let's stand to our feet. The piano is playing. The altar is open. You want to pray? You can.